that video will go up tomorrow. Due to some light edits being made. That was fun today. I've been wanting to do that for a while. I just, like, assembling the right discs and then a mix of random stuff that, like, I'm not aware of ended up being harder than I thought. Like, the first time I sat down to do it a few months ago, I was like, oh, wait a minute, I don't have this, I don't have this. Because the state, like I was saying, like, the state of Apple II disk preservation is really fucking weird. And there's a lot of stuff that exists on the fringes, and a lot of it is that educational stuff. Like, any of the big games for Apple II exists, you know, the various cracked disks and all that sort of stuff. I'm bummed that that copy of Where in the USA and is Carmen Sandiego didn't work. I'm not sure what the fuck was going on with that. I'm going to have to... Now I'm on a fucking quest to make that right, because I don't know what the... what was actually happening there. But yeah, one of those games had been recently kind of re-released, re-cracked and re-released by that 4AM character that is putting in fucking work in the Apple II preservation scene. It's pretty awesome. Like, a lot of new discs surfacing and, you know, or clean copies of discs that had only been dumped in weird forms and all that type shit. Motherfucker's not in a lane. All right, there you go. There you go. You are merging into my lane at a very slow rate of speed directly in front of me. Oh, and then making a left turn from a non-turn lane. This is a fucking... banner day for people driving good on a rainy day. It's not currently raining, but it certainly has rained. These roads, they're wet. This car in front of me is stopped in front of another car that is trying to double park, even though it is not all the way that... Man, this is... What the fuck? Come on, people. Get your fucking shit together. Purple Lucio. Yeah, no, Purple Lucio is legal in California now. It's pretty good, I'm told. Overwatch, man, like, what? I was just thinking, I don't, like, all this Overwatch news today, I didn't actually know what they announced. Like, does the league start today or whatever? I don't know what it was. I don't know anyone that plays Overwatch. Still, I don't think anyone I talk to or follow on Twitter. If they are, they are not talking about it. I don't know anyone that is like actively following Overwatch. I know it's still a huge game, but I feel like it's like kind of drifted off into that League of Legends territory of like, I don't know anyone who's playing it. I know it's huge, but I do not know anyone that is still sticking with it. Sure seems like they are betting a lot of money on the idea that people want to watch competitive Overwatch, like, on a long-term basis. Like, if this is their debut or whatever, and yeah, you're saying 300,000, that's a hell of a number. Right? I guess this isn't something on the level of an international right now today, but I was gonna say, like, what... How high is 300,000 actually for a big ol' fucking well-promoted esports thing? That's probably still really good. I don't actually know. I mean, the amount of money Twitch is paying for this stuff seems pretty wild to me. I don't know. I mean, that's them assuming they can sell a bunch of sponsorships and ads on top of it and make a lot of money from it. I just wonder how that goes for Twitch. We'll see. Tokens, $5 for one of 300 skins. What? No. That does not sound like a very good deal. $5 for a skin. I don't care how good the skin is. That doesn't sound like a great deal. Especially for a first-person game. Big name investors behind the teams. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like big names have been fucking trying to work their way into esports for a while as they continue to wrap their mind around it, or they get told they have to care about it. Like, oh, what we need an esports strategy. What are we doing for this emerging market? We need to get on this. Chuck E. Cheese, we need to sponsor a team here. Chuck E. Cheese's Portland Lucios. I don't know what the fuck, whatever the teams are. So, yeah, I mean, naturally, yeah, you know, something like this that is run by a big corporation like Activision, where they can say, hey, we're the stewards of this, we're going to be able to keep it safe, and it's not the Wild West like all that other esports stuff you've heard about. We know you've seen the videos on the internet. We're here to tell you, you should invest with us because we will keep it safe. That is the number one thing that will get these big sponsors and stuff through the door, is if you can tell them that you will be an effective gatekeeper for internet bullshit. That is the thing that holds a lot of competitive gaming back commercially, or has over the years. I mean, obviously, you know, some of that stuff has changed, but everything I've been told is, yeah, is that feeling of just like, oh, you know, they all want to get in on it because they've heard it's a big deal, and then they look at it a little closer and go, this is a cesspool. What do we do? Oh, God, no. So, yeah, if, you know, Activision running a league, Activision treating it like a big grown-up thing in like, what seems like kind of a cool way, like, yeah, naturally you'd be able to attract big non-endemic names at that point. I assume that's what they are. I don't actually know who they got to sponsor it. Maybe it's just RAM manufacturers or whatever, who are a little more willing to take on that risk of like, oh, we sponsored a team full of shitbags. Well, at least those shitbags are wearing jerseys with the name of our RAM on it. Or whatever. Just hoping they don't fuck up the esports scene. Yeah, well, yeah. I guess some of the StarCraft II stuff didn't seem amazing in a few ways. One of the teams is sponsored by Jack in the Box. Man, that's fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, talk about all these big name brands. They have been pitched on esports a lot of times. They probably have bosses who have kids who are into some of it a little bit, and then they come into work and go, why are we doing this esports thing? What are we doing with the esports? I hear it's huge. It's going to be the future. It's like poker. And obviously, yeah, you know, Blizzard is big enough, and they run the game, so they're in a position to be able to actually do those deals pretty effectively. Because they can portray it as something that they are controlling and keeping safe, and like, hey, we're running the scandal-free esports over here, which, you know, obviously, no guarantee of that. But that's, you know, they probably pitch at least a little bit. About the safety of spending their sponsorship dollars directly with Blizzard, as opposed to some ragtag esports organization running some other tournament for some other game. Who knows what that's going to be? Who knows where that money's going? Probably a skins gambling, you know, or whatever. They're running a child slavery ring over there. Or whatever. So, this seems to be, like, this is probably, like, the model for it, right? I mean, if this goes and is big, then other games would probably follow like this. I mean, you know, obviously, like, Valve is very involved in the majors and Dota and all that other shit. And, you know, Riot does their thing directly as well, and that seems like that's the key, is like, own the game and then own the league, as opposed to passing that off to some other governing body and letting them try to make money off it, where you make none, or you get a licensing fee, you know, or whatever it is. Run it yourselves. And yeah, hopefully the players get treated well. That's the other thing. You know, over the years, you hear all these nasty fucking stories. And, you know, hopefully by the thing you could say about doing this at a fucking large corporate, publicly traded company level is that, yeah, hopefully, I can't believe I'm saying this, hopefully these big corporations don't screw over the kids playing the games, which normally you'd be like, fucking what? Don't be an idiot. But when you consider how many small organizations have really fucked players over the years, for money or what have you, and left them fucking broke, burned out, and done. Hopefully this ends up working out better for something more stable and more fair. And that's, I'm sure that's changed a lot too. You know, some of these bigger teams that have been around for a long time. Yeah, exactly. Like a lot of these teams that have been around for a long time seem to have figured it out and be like, oh, like for us to fucking run this thing for real and actually be something that someone might want to sponsor, we have to make sure that we are also not being total fucking shitbags to our players or allowing our players to be total shitbags in ways that harm the sponsorship opportunity, which, you know, that's shitty. I mean, whatever, it's these shitbags should not be allowed to be shitbags. But at the same time, having the only reason that a lot of that stuff seems to be getting enforced is because it hurts their sponsorship dollars is perhaps a little fucking fucked up. I suppose this was always how it was going to go. I'm torn on it because I think that there are good ideas around a lot of that stuff, but, like, personally, I'm so not invested in any of the games or players or teams or any of that stuff. Like, the teams, the Blizzard stuff, just naming teams after cities is at least an interesting, fun approach. Though, if they do sell jerseys that have the Jack in the Box logo on it. I would hope the Jack in the Box team would at least be here in California, like a San Diego or something like that, or like a some Southern California city, because that is where Jack in the Box is based. I think their corporate headquarters is in La Jolla. It's like the La Jolla Jacks. The Dallas team, fuck that. Jack in the Box, forgetting where the fuck they came from. Pursuing this Eastern expansionist bullshit. license plate in front of me is IJKMNOP. Like the alphabet, but no L. Is that... is this person trying to say that they never take an L? Overwatch 2, would they even do that? I mean, yeah, if there was ever, like, a good reason to really shake things up. You know, Overwatch, a game like Overwatch 2 would happen when, if Overwatch 1 falls off, right? If they get to a point where, like, oh, you know, like, we can keep doing these seasonal boxes and stuff, and it's kind of printing money, but not the way we like, a full new release gives them the opportunity to market it all over again to a larger mainstream audience. And, you know, the initial batch of people who bought the game and fell off, like myself, it's an invitation for those people to get back on board for another 6 months or something like that. And go buy a boxed copy of a game for consoles, or, you know, go buy a, you know, another download or whatever. So I think there's plenty of reason to someday do Overwatch 2, but, you know, obviously it seems like they're doing okay right now, so probably no reason to do that anytime soon. But, you know, if Overwatch hadn't, like, if user retention didn't stick, when, and maybe it's not, I'm sure it's doing fine, like, right, they're doing this league, all this other stuff, like, there's probably a lot of interest in the game around the league even starting back up. But sure, if they get to a point where the best way for them to kind of pop that franchise back to a larger audience is to, you know, go through a full marketing campaign and teasers and all this other stuff in a way that, like, a character launch isn't going to do it for a lot of players. You know, maybe some of them came back for the first character just to see what that was all about, and then after that they're like, all right, I'm good. Then, yeah, maybe at some point you do put a sequel together. But I feel like if you were going to make a sequel to Overwatch, you would need to make more fundamental changes to the game, which honestly could be done via patch at this point. You know, so it's really just down to, like, how do you want to market it? How do you want to sell, you know, stuff? But right now, if they're on this path of, like, new maps and new characters are free, please buy some boxes, then they have to count on players wanting those skins in perpetuity. Otherwise, it's like, okay, let's come up with 12 new characters and make a bunch of new maps and then sell them. How about that? We can make some money. And then we can do the boxes thing all over again. And then we can roll out the old maps, redone for the new game. How about that? But I think they would have to, you know, even if it could be done in a patch, the same way, like, Street Fighter does it, with, like, hey, now you've got V-Trigger Select and that sort of stuff. I think you would want at least something that you could point to say, like, this is a dramatic gameplay shift for Overwatch. New in Overwatch 2. Ult Select. Now everyone has 3 ults, and you pick before... you pick that loadout before the match starts. You cannot switch mid-match. Go. Or something dumb like that. You know, like, whatever. That gets sticky, I guess. That's a little less of a big deal in a fighting game, like, having that type of selection stuff, because it's very easy to message to the opposing player, like, here's the variant of this character that you're facing. Like, Mortal Kombat and just had slightly different stances or slightly, you know, like a different appearance for the character, depending on which of the three variants you chose. Street Fighter just always puts a big Roman numeral 1 or 2, depending on which Ultra or V-Trigger you select. In 4 and 5, anyway. Or over the years, you know, the different games they've done. Whereas, you know, yeah, something that's a little more dynamic movement-wise, especially a game with a ton of skins like that, how do you convey to the other player, like, hey, this guy might be, this guy is packing this ult. Or maybe that's part of the surprise. Maybe you find that out the hard way. Balance around that. Or maybe it's a player count change or something like that. And they're like, hey, we decided this was actually really fun with 4 more players per team. That would probably actually be less fun or harder to strategize, I guess, if you got way more players on each side. But yeah, whatever. I'm not going to pretend to know, like, hey, here's what the fuck they should do if they wanted to make a full-fledged sequel, because I'm not even convinced that, well, whatever, they surely will not need to make a sequel to Overwatch anytime soon, but, you know, games run their course. Even if they have an aggressive update strategy, people will fall away from it over time. More people will fall away from it. I'll be curious to know how many people are coming to Overwatch for the first time, in a given month. You know, I guess that's actually something sales data could definitely tell you. But like, this long after that game's release, are there a lot of people that are still like, oh fuck, I'm gonna get into Overwatch. I heard about this game, it seems good. You know, maybe the esports stuff has a knock-on effect like that, where if it becomes a big enough story, like, hey, did you hear these fuckers paid $90 million for this thing? Someone goes like, what is this game? Like, I should probably check this shit out. Because I'm an investor, and now I'm into Overwatch, you know, or whatever the fuck. You know, all that stuff also advertises the game. I guess it'd be hard to separate, in some cases it'd be hard to separate sales to brand new players versus people who got banned for cheating, or people who want to smurf, and so on. Those would be, that'd be fun data to see, like the spikes, like the ebbs and flows of Overwatch's like daily active users, like what moves the needle, like how much, you know, what percentage of players do they get back each time they put out new skins? Or each time they run a seasonal event, how many people come back and are like, well, I want to get this skin. And is it slightly less each time they do it? Because it seems like it would be. And then when they have big news hits like, you know, the League and stuff like that, does that, how many copies do they sell immediately when they start showing up in mainstream news? For making big moves like that, I would be really fascinated to see how that stuff works from the inside. First amazingly foggy day I've seen in a really long time. Driving up this fucking hill is some shit. out here. We'll ever get into like an established pattern with esports overall where games will kind of have seasons and then an off season to the point where it's like, okay, for these 3 months it's going to be like Dota is the primary esport you will see, and then as the Dota season is winding down, hey, this is, it's Street Fighter season. Like, if assuming that all these games broke through in a mainstream way, like, right, like, hey, this shit is on television, like, people actually care about it now. But in a lot of cases, these sports don't all, like, you know, when you look at football and basketball and baseball and other stuff. Like, well, baseball's a pretty long fucking season, but they don't often step on each other. Or there are, you know, there'll be like a month of overlap where, you know, there would always, when the Giants and the 49ers played in the same stadium, or the Raiders and the A's, you end up situations where it's like, oh, we're both using the stadium now, or something like that. But and you know, the games that don't break through in a major way, obviously they happen whenever, because fucking the mainstream kind of hive mind would never care. But you know, if we're talking about games breaking through in a way that, like, hey, these are attracting viewerships that are approaching, let's say, hockey. You know, to where it becomes like this viable, mainstream, televised thing. You know, there's only so much of that you can kind of put on TV without kind of oversaturating it, right? That's my impression, anyway. That if you had every game running all the time, all at once, then you know, it'd be overkill. So I wonder if you would ever get to a point where you would see, like, you know, companies kind of working together to establish, like, okay, let's say we're the six dominant games. We're the six games that broke through to be the fucking esports games. Everything else, they're doing whatever. Everything else is fucking darts and bowling on ESPN fucking 9. We're the proper esports. Canonical. I wonder if they would ever have to get that organized. And be like, okay, Dota games happen on Thursdays and Sundays. Street Fighter, that's a Saturday sport. You know, like that type of shit. And, you know, in addition to times of the year. I guess if you had one dominant television partner that was broadcasting all of it, then they would have to do something like that. Just be like, okay, well, we've got to schedule a fucking broad... we got to build a broadcast schedule for this shit. How it would go. I guess that's making a ton of grand assumptions about people's willingness to watch competitive video games en masse, but and also, you know, like, the restrictions of fucking broadcast or cable television are such that, like, they're not great fits for some of these games. I wonder if any game would ever pursue that stuff so hard that they would bend their game to fit. Dota 2 with TV timeouts for ad breaks. Or maybe it'll never happen and it doesn't need to, because that's fucking what the internet is here to do, is to fucking destroy the idea of fucking broadcast cable television as, like, a way to ingest this shit. And they can monetize completely differently because they can put ads around it. They can throw ads on top of it. I'd like to see that on some level. You know, just like, let's fucking finally get there and eliminate the idea of linear television. At least in terms of just, like, getting cable. But man, that shit is messy. Rights issues and who wants the money and who wants how much money for what. All these different networks starting up their own services and all the, like, how many, you know, how many of those are you supposed to subscribe to? Maybe that's like the next, like, big a la carte fight. And whatever, at that point, you're just buying shows on iTunes again, like they were doing before. Or they, I guess they still technically do that. Still like having cable. The only time I ever miss having a television hookup in the house is for dumb event shit that I'm kind of okay doing without. But like on New Year's when the ball drops in New York and then they delay it for the West Coast so you can see it at midnight your time as well. You know, I'd been to a lot of parties over the years that just had that on in the background and everyone stopped and watched it and counted and yay! My wife and I went out to dinner and got home a little bit before midnight. There wasn't really much going on out and about when we were out. It was kind of dead, which was weird. Because this used to be a big drinking town. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Anyway, so, like, we, you know, I logged into the website of the network to watch Ryan Seacrest be fucking suck ass. You can only take him in, you know, minute long loops for days and weeks at a time when it's actual uncut Seacrest. A little less interesting. Anyway, the short version of this story is because it was a stream, the ball dropped 2 minutes after midnight. Because stream latency is real. But yeah, when I canceled my satellite TV stuff, I thought I would miss it more than I did. But, I mean, I never, ever watched that shit. And when I did, it was when I had, like, roommates and we would, like, spend a lot of time sitting around. I was drinking more when we had TV also. Like, sit on this couch, watch fucking horse racing. I don't know. Watch the Knife Show. Now you just watch the Knife Show 24 hours a day on YouTube. So that problem solved. If I were to pay the horse racing channel, if I were to bet on horse races, which I am not one to do, I think they would let me watch their streams of horse races as well. I miss Les Onaka, the greatest handicapper in the history of the game. But I'm all right. And, you know, like we watched a lot of baseball. That was a lot of weekend activity of, like, wake up because you're getting every baseball game as a part of the baseball package. Baseball starts at, like, fucking 10 a.m. You roll out of bed about 10:30. There's, like, fucking six baseball games on. It's overwhelming. You place a way too large order from the wings place as soon as they open. Eat about three meals worth of food in one sitting, and then start drinking at about 1 p.m. And then when the horse racing's done about 9 p.m., after all the baseball's done too, then you're like, "Now you want to go downtown? I guess we can just keep drinking. We just go downtown. Take a cab downtown at this point." And, you know, dumb shit like that. So, when my roommates moved out, both of them moved out, I think I paid for the baseball package for an additional year and then didn't actually remember to watch any of it, which was a dumb thing to do. You know, but obviously they do that baseball package online as well, if you wanted to. If I still wanted to keep it, I don't think I would need to pay DirecTV for any of that shit. I still get email regular mail from them all the fucking time. "Hey, you should come, you should sign up for the satellite. Hey, what's up? You got this once, you fell for this for a lot of years. Just get back into this. We got all those channels you didn't watch." Now I'm looking at satellite radio and trying to decide if I want to keep it or not. My subscription is up in April. And it's a lot of money for what I get out of it. It's like, I think it's like $300 a year, somewhere around there, for satellite radio in my car, and then streaming satellite radio if I want that, which is, like, it's not the worst idea. I don't know, like, you know, they've got a Roku app, they've got, you know, my TV has an app for it. Obviously you can use a web browser, but, like, I don't know that I find their programming that fucking compelling anymore. I've not heard Tony Touch ask people what they were smoking on in at least a year. And now Lord Sear is on in the mornings. He doesn't ask anyone what they are sipping on. Would lose access to the Pitbull channel, though. And they took Faction on, you know, the Tony Hawk station that was like a mix of, like, punk and rap, and, like, that's gone now. Replaced with, like, a fucking 90s, 2000s metal channel. It's just fucking embarrassing. Farming news. Yeah, I mean, I would lose access to the fucking Chucks, you know? Would not be able to hear those chuck wagon races. Actually, I think that might be streaming on their website, the audio from that. I might be able to tune into some Canadian radio station on my phone and keep up with the Chucks. Next time the Calgary Stampede comes around. I wonder how much flights to Calgary cost. You go to the Calgary Stampede. That would be a profoundly dumb and amazing vacation to take. to Calgary. It sucks. I don't know. I saw that video. Look at people have fun there. I don't know, man. Broadcast entertainment's weird. You know, even, you know, with the stuff that we do, which seems straightforward in some ways, is, like, weirdly cutting edge in others. Like, we're... doing things a lot differently than other people running subscription services, as it turns out, in terms of... hey, we're a mix of free and premium, we're a mix of live and not live, and videos on demand, you know. And and some of these videos are really long, and how do you deliver those? And hey, we'd like to deliver them a number of different ways so that people have some freedom to choose how they get the stuff, as opposed to just like, no, we have our official thing here, and that's, come to the website if you want to see it, you know, like that sort of stuff. Like, it's a weird fucking world with that shit, with all of it, all the different streaming services and video services and all this other stuff. Spent some time today in a meeting talking about some stuff around video service stuff that we do that would be an expansion of what we offer in some pretty cool ways, but it's also stuff you look at and go like, the stuff we are talking about will take a year minimum to get going. But we're right to start now, because like this stuff is ever changing. So we kind of have to at least look ahead and be like, where do we think this is going to go? What's the right sort of thing to offer? Kind of a where do you go from here type thing. So in short, we're launching our own cryptocurrency. No. Is .coin a top-level domain yet? Seems like they would have fucking done that by now.
All right.
I'm home. Everybody have a great night. And, yeah, I don't know. I'll see you in the morning.